Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the last hour of this show this morning, which will be between 9 and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, I'm going to have Patricia Hero on from New Jersey talking about her city council race back in November and what it means in regard to citizen participation in the political process, whether or not that kind of political activism has any utility for us in the present time. That'll be an interesting conversation because she has some ideas that are not necessarily my ideas in some key areas, but I wanted to bring her on just to chat through some things that paleoconservatives and libertarians have been debating for some period of time now. Is there any point to being involved in conventional political activism of the type that involves running for office and doing ballot box sorts of things? You know, we talked about some days ago on the show the poll at striketheroot.com in regard to the political candidacy of Ron Paul. That kind of begs the question, doesn't it, of what we'll talk about with Pat at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time and for the last hour of the show. The Ron Paul poll at Strike the Root is a very curious one, because it will get to the bottom of the whole question, it seems to me, on how many people are of the political persuasion that, loosely speaking, you would see in some of the libertarian and paleoconservative sites, the point of view that is expressed by many people that listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network and read American Free Press, to what extent can we be effective? And the kind of thing that the high school civics teachers always foist upon us in regard to supporting and being involved in the institutions of government as we currently have them. That's a debate, and that's a question that's not going to go away. And certainly the guest that we're going to have on this morning is not the only person that over time we're going to pose some of these questions to. I'd like to get Ron Paul on this show at some juncture to ask him specifics about why he's running for president, what he hopes to accomplish, what we can look for in the days ahead. I went through this myself when I ran for the U.S. Senate on the Constitution Party line in 2000 in Delaware. It was a real eye-opener, not simply in terms of the obstacles that a legitimate independent or third-party candidate faces in this country when they decide to run for a significant office, but it also caused me to examine some of my own presuppositions in regard to what is and is not possible when it comes to government and so-called citizen activism, again, of the type that involves running for political office, writing your congressman, doing all of the things that we are told will result in some positive direction and influence in regard to public policy. Is that realistic? Or is that simply a pipe dream? That, to me, is the crux of the issue in regard to some of the things we'll talk about with Pat Hero from 9 o'clock onward this morning. Back to the whole article at Israel Shamir's website. You can find this there at israelshamir.net. Carter and the Swarm. Why did Carter write this book on Palestine and the Palestinian situation at this particular point in his life? That's something that is raised by Israel Shamir. I will let his article speak for itself in regard to his own analysis of Jimmy Carter. But suffice it to say that Shamir subsequently engages in a most fascinating analysis of the role of American Jews in the American political scene, and what it means both domestically and as far as foreign policy is concerned. We'll take up that story and a number of other ones as well when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a number of news stories today and trying to make some sense of what they mean. And a lot of times that involves analyzing the corporate media. Before I get back to Israel Shamir's story on Jimmy Carter and the so-called swarm at israelshamir.net, I'd like to say that this whole question of corporate media is something that comes up in paleo-conservative and libertarian circles in regard not simply to the folks who write and speak about these matters, as I do formally, but a lot of our individuals who read these articles and listen to broadcasts of in non-corporate, non-controlled news media for all of the right reasons. Such folks are well-nigh justified, in my view, and being absolutely suspicious, even disdainful of corporate media for all the right reasons. It's a controlled entity. It is an evil entity. The people who exercise control through it do so for some very specific purposes. And yet at the same time, I would part company with some of my ideological brethren who said that they ignore corporate media. I ignore it in as far as being well aware of the predictable and absurd conclusions that these people draw on all kinds of subjects, and the fact that they do so for all the wrong reasons, in regard to the fact that they are mouthpieces for an evil system and are profiting by it, no question about it. And yet, by the same token, it is important, I think, to be aware of corporate media and to glance at it on a daily basis to the extent that you can, simply because what these people say and what they don't say is very important toward the goal of achieving the goal of really having an insider's grasp of what is happening and doing what one can to protect him or herself or his or her family from the ravages of what is going on and what is about to happen. Simply understanding the enemy, understanding the way that he operates, seeing the patterns in his or her behavior, and utilizing those patterns to gain a bigger perspective on the whole question of truth and falsehood is, I would argue, a noble and very much a necessary task. So when we look at the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or the Washington Post or watch CNN or watch Fox or whatever it happens to be, that is a significant and worthwhile endeavor if we have the tools to evaluate what is happening and to evaluate the methods of these folks and to see how deceptive it is and what the goals happen to be that they're trying to achieve. There's so much that is entirely understandable and discernible if one is guided in interpreting what they do and say, and doing so in a way that is revelatory, understanding what such forces are trying to do and being able to see their methods and to be on the inside as far as interpreting their methodology and what their goals are is absolutely worthwhile, in my view. So it is appropriate, as I try to do every day, to look at the Wall Street Journal, the London Financial Times, and the New York Times, and the Washington Post, just to name those four. Do I believe their perspective? Quite clearly, no. Do I see the deception that is contained within their pages? Yes, at least to a large extent. Is it a learning process to compare what they put out day after day after day with the kinds of things that are said by Michael Collins Piper or Paul Craig Roberts or Pat Buchanan? That is the way in which these outlets need to be examined and carefully scrutinized. For what is not said is oftentimes as important as what is said. And when you look at pictures and where things are positioned in these publications and why certain things are followed up upon and while other things are conveniently dropped, is a good way of developing a sense of what the larger picture is. So again, on a daily basis, I look at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the London Financial Times, just to name those four, to compare what their leading lights are trying to get across to you and me, and to compare that with the folks that I do trust, by and large, in non-corporate media, who generally have information for us that contradicts the party line and that provides a qualitative analysis and data that that makes the contradiction of the party line legitimate and, again, gives us some sense of what the larger game is. Now, back to Israel Shamir and his post, Carter and the Swarm. This is an amazing article, particularly a paragraph or two that I'm about to read from, where, in fact, Israel Shamir says at one point that, quote, though most ordinary U.S. Jews are sane and sensible, these decisions, he's talking about decisions that are affecting the dreadful circumstance as it is presently going on in Palestine, these decisions are made by super-rich, super-powerful, super-chauvinist Jews who are anything but, quote, They are the power pushing for war. Carter wants to stop the disaster in the Middle East by convincing the sane and rebutting the arrogant. Thus, the president joined the fracas as traditional WASP America tries to regain lost ground and save the country they love from destruction. The WASPs, that's white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, by the way, the WASPs, with their immense property holdings, traditions, and roots, found themselves marginalized by the Jews with their death grip on the media and universities. Indeed, spirit rules over matter. The reports by the Baker Hamilton Iraq Study Group and Walt Mearsheimer, that's Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer, by the way, of Harvard and the University of Chicago connection, who were absolutely assailed for talking openly from a sound academic perspective about what the Israeli lobby's been up to in this country. These are, however, according to Israel Shamir, the first salvos fired by this WASP intifada. A WASP intifada. A Jewish American columnist, a resident in Israel writing for Israel's Haaretz, named Burstyn, correctly stated that, quote, Carter's true intended target was the organized American Jewish community, unquote. Carter pointed out the main reasons for apartheid in the Holy Land, says Burstyn. Number one, Jewish control of the United States government, quote, it would be almost politically suicidal for members of Congress to espouse a balanced position between Israel and Palestine, to suggest that Israel comply with international law, or to speak in defense of justice or human rights for Palestinians, unquote. Getting into the whole question number two of Jewish control of the American media, Israel Shamir again quotes Jimmy Carter saying that what is even more difficult to comprehend is why the editorial pages of the major newspapers and magazines in the United States exercise similar self-restraint, quite contrary to private assessments expressed quite forcefully by their correspondents in the Holy Land, unquote. What Carter, President Carter, is talking about there is that sometimes you can have correspondence with these establishment publications like the ones that I read every day, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the London Financial Times, and the Wall Street Journal, that in many instances, Carter is pointing out here that the correspondence of some of these publications from time to time on a private basis will speak out quite forcefully about what they see in the beats that they cover internationally. And yet those comments are many times not finding their way into what is printed in the publications that they write for, not to mention the op-ed pieces that appear morning after morning in those journals. After Carter made these remarks, getting back to quoting Israel Shamir directly, he was immediately counterattacked by organized Jewry. You couldn't miss it. In my native Siberia, and this is Israel Shamir again talking, in my native Siberia, in a short and furious summer, you can watch a swarm of gnats attack a horse, each small bloodsucker eager for his piece of the action. After a while, the blinded and infuriated animal rushes headlong in a mad sprint and soon finds its death in the bottomless moors. The Jews develop the same style of attack. It is never a single voice arguing the case. I'm going to repeat that sentence from this article. It is never a single voice arguing the case, but always a mass attack from the left and the right, from below and above, until the attacked one is beaten and broken and crawls away in disgrace. Each attacker is as tiny and irrelevant as a single gnat, but as a swarm they are formidable. Observe them separately. Alan Dershowitz, an advocate of torture and of hostage killing, an apprehended plagiarist who was never elected to any position of authority and commands no respect, demands to debate the president. It is indeed beyond chutzpah, but Dershowitz is supported by other Jews in prime positions, and his ridiculous demand is seconded by both university and media until this thieving nonentity is equal time on a TV channel to present his case, quote-unquote. Another gnat is a Deborah Lipstadt, a non-entity brought forth by the Washington Post. Plenty of others are even smaller than these two. For instance, 14 Jews who gave up their positions at Carter Center. If they were not able to keep the media in their hands, they wouldn't be heard by anyone but their spouses. Their technique is quite simple. They switch the focus of argument onto the personality of their adversary. Thus, instead of discussing apartheid in Israel, we discuss Jimmy Carter, whether he is a bigot and an anti-Semite, thus Abe Foxman, the bad Jew, or he is not, Avnery, the good Jew. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Network. We're taking a look at a number of news stories today, both establishment press as well as non-establishment, and trying to get at the bottom of a number of items that quite clearly are going to affect you and me in the days ahead. We hope to be joined at around 9 o'clock this morning Central Time by Pat Hero of New Jersey. She and I went to college together 30 years ago. She stuck her toe in the water in regard to a political race in the state of New Jersey this past November, and she and I do not share all of the same ideas, I hasten to add. But I have been interested to talk to a college compatriot of my generational background who decided to participate in something like this. I wanted her take on whether or not she found it to be viable or not, what she learned, what she didn't learn from it, and what she plans on doing in the days ahead. And as I said at the beginning of the show, this whole issue of traditional political activism is something that those of us on the right, paleo and libertarian, have been struggling with for a long time. You see the ambivalence on this when you look at LouRockwell.com or BATR or Jacob Hornberger's Future Freedom Foundation, where you encounter some really good and big names in both the paleo and libertarian communities, some of whom continue to vote. Some of them continue to try running for public office, like Ron Paul, in this whole bid for the presidency of the United States. And on the other hand are some folks that are of equal goodwill and intellect who have said, hey, get out of the process. It not only doesn't work, it's reaffirming a system that is absolutely corrupt, that needs to be vomited out, as it were, much as we are told in John's Apocalypse that Jesus Christ was threatening to spit out the church at Laodicea. So that's a complete difference of opinion with many of us in the paleo and libertarian communities who are looking at this whole thing of traditional political activism and coming down on different sides in regard to whether or not it's still viable, still something worth trying to do, or whether the towel should simply be thrown in and we should refuse to participate because any participation at all, some would argue, is an affirmation of a system that is absolutely corrupt and evil, that is totally beyond redemption or repair. That's a debate that's going to continue. I don't think, certainly after today's show, that we will be any closer to claiming that we've got the final word on this. And whenever I talk to really informed thinking people on the American right or left in recent years in regard to what they're doing, I always try to sound them out, even off the record, in regard to what they really think about this whole question, because it's a pretty compelling question. I would wonder if those of you who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network on a regular basis, if you continue to vote or not. How involved are you in the present political system? I did not vote, by the way, in this last election. I have not voted since the presidential race in 2004, where I voted for my friend Michael Perutka of the Constitution Party. In that particular election, my wife did not vote, not because she doesn't like Perutka, but because she felt that the arguments of some of the people on the paleo and libertarian right who were saying don't participate, the best vote you can cast is complete abstention. That was the route that she took then. This last time, the first Tuesday in November, neither one of us voted. That was the first time I failed to cast a ballot since I first became eligible in the Republican primary for president in the state of Indiana in 1976. So I had been doing my so-called civic duty election after election, no matter how bad it got. I would ultimately go into the voter's booth in a primary or a general election and would cast a ballot for someone, even if it was one person out of 50 on the ballot. But I didn't do that this last time, and it's not something I was without internal dissonance on, but I didn't vote. And again, as we approach this next set of elections, I suspect that in my own mind, my vote of non-participation looks better and better all the time, as I follow what's going on in corporate media and what seems to be happening in the days ahead. And before I continue with Israel Shamir's article, I'd like to say that there's something that really is a personal crisis for me, and that is that as I watch the old American Republic crashing and burning, many would effectively argue that it's already dead. I feel like I'm in a sometimes almost a pronounced state of mourning in regard to this whole process. It depresses me sometimes. Yes, pastors do get depressed, whether or not they admit it. In my particular case, I get very depressed and distressed about the state of political and cultural affairs in our land. Not too sure what that means as we seem to be moving toward a third world war, but I'll expand on my thoughts when I come back and then get back to the Shamir article. This is Mark Van Cos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Back. This is Mark Dan Cos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And before I get back to some of the things that we were talking about at the beginning of the show and at the beginning of the hour, I'd like to remind you that you can call in today if you have a question for me at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. It is time to announce that we, in fact, are worthy of your support, we pray, at Republic Broadcasting Network. You can contact us at republicbroadcasting.org. That's a new site, or I should say a new link to our site. That's republicbroadcasting.org. That or the phone number 1-800-724-2719 will enable you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. And again, that's available at 1-800-724-2719 or at republicbroadcasting.org. I am beginning to work my way through the Russo DVD, by the way, on my own time, in order to compare its contents with what is going on in our political system today. And I suggest that if you do the same thing I'm doing, you're quite likely to see a complete disconnect between the real issues, the real political and cultural issues and constitutional issues in this country that Aaron Russo chronicles in this DVD, and the kind of nonsense that is traditionally bandied about when it comes to the corporate press. Classic example is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show in regard to the AP byline coming out of Washington, that there is now significant Senate opposition to Mr. Bush's troop surge increase in Iraq. And what is being talked about there is the so-called Warner-Levin compromise. When you look at that compromise and its alleged attempt to express opposition to the present state of affairs in Iraq and the president's proposed solution for this in terms of 21,500 troops being committed to the region, it's clear that it's non-binding. That's even utilizing the language of AP and the CNN. It's non-binding, doesn't touch the issue of funding. Matter of fact, if you look at the body of that article, there are a number of folks who are unnamed in the article that are players in this process in the United States Senate who have said that they will vote for the non-binding Warner-Levin resolution as long as that whole thing coming out of those negotiations ensures that funding can continue. So anybody taking that position, it seems to me, is completely without ethics or honesty, basically saying, yeah, I'll vote for a non-binding resolution expressing opposition to this surge policy with Iraq as long as I can continue to vote to appropriate the funds to continue that policy. It's quite clearly a ridiculous situation. And I think Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, which again you can have at the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by calling us at 1-800-724-2719 or getting on the web and contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org, getting a hold of that thing and watching it very closely and watching it more than once, I suspect will be a window of new understanding in regard to what the issues are that are not being talked about by any of these politicians on the Hill and that are not being talked about in regard to the minions of corporate media. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Dankoff.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. How about yourself?
Good.
Well, you know, you were discussing being depressed moments ago, and I thought to myself, well, one man's floor is another man's ceiling, and I'm overjoyed that you're on the air this morning and that you're part of the Republic Broadcasting Network and that you're getting ready to go out on a major station, I understand, in Tennessee, because you're an articulate, educated, and intelligent guy that may not have always been aware, and who was, of what's going on with our society and with the world in general. You know, it has taken them a long time to position us where we are today on the brink of World War III and possibly nuclear war. And these people that have done this shouldn't be necessarily classified as simply Jews because it's not that's too simplified of an explanation for who they are. They have existed since the Tower of Babel fell, and they have been the high priest of corruption throughout the world. And you know, I was doing some research, and I found that when the when Babylon collapsed, the next port of entry actually was Pergamos, which is spoken of in Revelations as the seat of Satan.
Yes.
And then from Pergamos, or sometimes known as Pergamum, they found themselves at Rome. And then the Roman Empire has, at this point, crept right on into the United States. I was watching a an old newsreel of Hitler having a parade during the Nazi era, and marching down the street was the goddess of war with the Roman helmet on that sits on top of our Capitol in Washington, and right behind that was the big eagle that we see on our 55-cent and 57-cent stamp. And all the symbology from Rome is right here in America. And, you know, all the people out there that consider themselves good Christians ought to take a look at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and notice that every god under the sun is there except Jesus. And you have Vulcan, you have Mercury. And, you know, Mercury was the god of traitors and thieves. And in the Capitol building, the rotunda has a big mural that was painted in 1835. And up there is painted Mercury handing Robert Morris, the first treasurer, a bag of gold. So I believe that whoever these creatures are, there's some kind of an obligation that they have to let us know what they're doing. And we have to take it upon ourselves to either join up and be a part of it or resist it. And in the final analysis, you know, you and I have talked about this before, all we really have in our favor at this point in time is our numbers if we can make them large enough. And if we can get enough people, you know, you look back on Russia at the time that the statues were being torn down and allegedly communism was being defeated, but it doesn't really matter what was really taking place. The people were in the streets, they were taking down the statues, and they were standing up to power. And we can do the same here.
Yes, and you know, Bob, your insights raise a lot of important issues for me in regard to the context of this whole thing. The message that was given to the church at, I don't know whether it's pronounced Pergamos or Pergamos, but it's the third church in that series of seven in Asia Minor that's talked about in John's Apocalypse, and of course, as you point out, that the Lord Jesus Christ makes the statement that's recorded by the Apostle John there that Pergamos resided where Satan's seat was or dwelt. And, of course, most of the commentators I've ever consulted on this seem to believe that the central core issue with why this place was such a center of demonic activity in Asia Minor in the first century apparently related, at least in part, if not entirely, to the development of the cult of emperor worship and the deification of the central state. And that, to me, is absolutely important because when I look at the way in which so much of our political discourse today is misguided, it's uninformed, it has subtly accepted presuppositions that once those presuppositions are accepted, simply ends the ball game, it seems to me. And as you point out, you look at so much of what surrounds American political culture, and it is the very subtle and in some cases not so subtle introduction of religious symbols, religious imagery, a religious aura, as it were, to provide some sort of a religious, and some people would even argue a subtle or not so subtle theocratic impulse for policies that have nothing to do with God and everything to do with Caesar. And you know, the other night I was struck by this when I was talking with my brother on the telephone. He unfortunately is a liberal. He's a good man, but he's unfortunately a liberal. He's a very successful trial attorney in the Midwest, graduated from the University of Texas Law School, and yet we do agree on some things. One of the things that we are both in agreement about is how dreadful the implications are of this insane interventionist policy that we embarked upon in Iraq. And as my brother was talking about this whole issue of fascism, utilizing the same word that's in the title of Aaron Russo's DVD, my brother said something very insightful, and that is that one of the key elements in a political system that is essentially evil and is essentially fascistic is the utilization of religious imagery, religious presuppositions, and religious context to give people this visceral sense that what they're participating in is connected with God, when in fact it not only is not connected to God, it would be properly understood, seen as the antithesis of the things of God.
Well, you know, sometimes I look at the geopolitical map, and I listen to the terms being utilized on the mainstream media to designate Islamofascism. And they're trying, and they compare Ahmadinejad to Hitler over and over and over and over, I mean, until you can't take it anymore. And I see that they're molding a mindset among people, and nobody wants to say anything good about Hitler, especially me. But we really don't know what part he was playing in the whole scheme of things. We weren't here, and that's one of my biggest complaints, is that we're asked as adults to accept so many things that were accepted before we got here. You know, I was born in 1950, and I wasn't here during the Depression. I wasn't here when Roosevelt started turning the country into a socialist state. And when you talk socialism, fascism, and communism, and I, at this point, you look at capitalism, and it can't be much different, and you say that your primary duty is to the state. And, you know, I listened to a guy one time who described the word worship as a compound word made up of worth and ship, and it means to transfer value. And wherever you transfer value or place value is what you worship. So when the government tells you, well, I'll tell you what, you know, when you get old and gray and you're hungry, I'll let you have enough money to buy 8 cans of dog food and a little medication each month if you'll worship me. And that's what we do. And, it, you know, people have become so, you know, you could walk into a room full of far-right Republicans and you could say, okay, how many of you people in here are socialists? Raise your hands. And you wouldn't see a hand raised. But each and every one of them in there is a card-carrying socialist.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you're certainly touching upon things, Bob, that scratch where I'm itching, because whether you're talking about the dangerous utilization of religious imagery and religious symbols to justify something that is not of God and that I would say is essentially the deification of the central state, whether you're talking about that issue more narrowly or the wider issues of what has happened in this country, just in the time frame of those years, say between 2000 and 2006, where we had both a Republican president and a Republican Hill. I did something you know, very, very fascinating the other night by accident. I was cleaning my office, and I came across a couple of old documents related to past political conventions, in this case Republican conventions, where I had been a delegate. Now, these were Republican state conventions, one in Washington State, the other two in Texas. I was an elected delegate in each instance, and I remember these incredible struggles that would take place over the so-called party platform. And what one would end up with was a party platform that in the case of Washington State and Texas, an awful lot of what was in it, I assume, would be things that you and I would affirm. There was a lot that was said in it that would be right up our alley, and yet when you would read these documents, just taking those portions that, say, you and I, for the sake of argument, would agree with, and compare that with what actually happens in public policy in this country under Republican and Democratic regimes and administrations, and see the extent to which the delegates to these conventions, and many of these people, I say this on the basis of personal experience, a lot of these delegates are good people. They're well-meaning people. Not all of them, of course, but a certain percentage of them are. And they believe that by participating in this stuff, that they're trying to make a difference for their country and for their children and grandchildren. And yet these folks, thinking about the good ones, for example, I would always get these blank stares when after a day at one of these conventions and there'd be a big drawn-out fight over the party platform. And let's say that in those days, and this is I'd have to go back and look at this to make sure I could back it up. But let's say, for example, that in Washington State in the late 1980s and in Texas in 1994 and 1996, when I was a delegate to those Texas State Republican conventions, let's say for the sake of argument, excuse me, that maybe, 80 to 85% of what's in the pages of those documents, I would affirm. The fact of the matter is, I began to see over time. Now, I'm ashamed to admit it took me a very, very long time. It took years. But I began to see a total disconnect between what was down there on paper and what the actual reality of the circumstances dictated. If you get a chance, Bob, stay on the line. I'm going to continue this when I come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
back. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. These last couple of hours, I've been kicking around some news stories and having some good conversation with Bob here in Texas as of late. In the next 10 minutes or so, we tend to have historically a number of commercial breaks, and then there will be a longer period of time for conversation. I hope to have Pat Hero of New Jersey up on the line at some point for the third and final hour of the show. But, Bob, getting back to what we were talking about, let me give you a concrete example of what I was trying to say before the break. In 1996, I was a delegate to a Texas State Republican convention that was held here in San Antonio. I was a part of a delegation that represented the most Republican county in the state of Texas. And it was an interesting convention because the party platform, if you go back and find it, the party platform of the Texas State Republican Party that year was, a good document. I won't say it was perfect, and I probably would go back and study it now and see some things between the lines that I didn't see then. But suffice it to say that there was a lot in it that a real America First type conservative would support. And yet, obviously, the Republican Party that year nominated for president a man who is the living embodiment, in my view, of the corporate American control of the political process and somebody who is the embodiment of the worst things related to that establishment. Well, I was approached by someone who had something to do with the party platform dynamics on the floor of the convention. This was somebody in the Texas Republican Party structure statewide who was a very powerful person. And he said to me, you know, we're, of course, picking delegates from Texas to the Republican National Convention, and there are going to be three from picked from each of 30 counties in the state of Texas. Then there are the so-called at-large delegates. I think I can get you a position as an at-large delegate to the National Convention in San Diego if you want it. And I looked at this person and I said, hey, you know, I really can't do this. And they said, why? And I said, well, the party rules require me to vote for Bob Dole on the first ballot in San Diego. I can't do that. This person said, why? And I said, because he is a walking repudiation and is personal and public record, he is a walking repudiation of what's in our state party platform document. And this guy said, well, you know, we've got a great party platform, and most of what is in it is also going to be in the national platform that comes out of San Diego. And I said, well, it doesn't matter what's in the document. The fact of the matter is that when I look at what's going on in this country, and I look at Bob Dole's record in the U.S. Senate, of voting for all kinds of reprehensible things that have nothing to do with what I believe and what's in this document, it seems to me that this is a complete moral and intellectual fraud. We'll be back. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you get a chance, Bob, stay with me for a while. I'll be back.